And now, Ben Bailey.
Total dependence upon God may be one of the easiest things in all the world to talk about and for preachers to get up and preach about, but I guarantee you, it is one of the more difficult things to really achieve in your life. Not because God hasn't done His part or isn't willing to do His part, but because sometimes we find it difficult to fully turn our lives over to God. Oh, don't get me wrong. I understand we want God's help and we need God's help, but do we really? And I want you to think real serious about this. Do we have total dependence upon God? Someone say, well, I've got about 75%. Some say, well, maybe 80% might be good. Someone might even say, I've got about 99%. Do we have total dependence upon Almighty God? In my own life, as I survey trials and difficulties, as I survey decisions that have to be made that are very important, I often find myself first looking at all the options, then trying to think about good decisions, and finally, asking God for His help. And you know, I think to myself, how foolish. How foolish that is, because the very first thing we ought to do is to ask God for His help. Oh, how we need to be a people who put more dependence upon God. You remember a proverb writer said in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I remember what Peter said, and no doubt Peter struggled in this as he thought about some of these words because he had realized he had not truly put total dependence upon God in the scenes of Golgotha and Calvary. He says these words in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. We need to know that God wants to help us. He's willing to help us, but we have to let God help us in times of trouble. And so this morning, we're continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount. Open your Bible if you're not already there. We're going to be looking in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 33, where I believe this is the main idea of the text, total dependence upon God. If you came in late and you don't have a handout, please hold your hand up and we will bring one of those around. We have a few extra of those that we'd like for you to have. We're going to ask four basic questions that really come from our text this morning. What does total dependence upon God require of me? Okay, I'm going to have total dependence upon God. What does that require of me? What must I do to let that happen? Secondly, how do I achieve total dependence upon God? I understand what it is. I know what's required of me now. How do I achieve total dependence upon God? Third question we're going to ask is, what is the key to total dependence upon God? Is there something that if I get right in my life, all else will fall in place and I'll be able to have total dependence? Yes, there is. And a fourth question we're going to ask is, what are the benefits of total dependence upon God? What should motivate me to want to do that? Why do I want to have total dependence upon God? We're going to look at this, and again, all the points are going to come from our text in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 33. Let's ask the first question then. Notice on your handout, what does total dependence upon God require of me or of us? What have I got to do so that I can let God truly rule and reign in my life? Notice the text of Matthew 6. I want you to look in verse 19, and I want you to note that the first thing, write down on your handout, it requires first and foremost that we learn what the real treasures, write in the word treasures, the real treasures of life are. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves neither break in and steal. Get this now, for where your treasure is, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Friends, if I'm going to truly have total dependence upon God, I've got to learn what the real treasures of this life are all about. What's the meaning of life? What's important in life? What kind of goals and things do I need to be seeking after? Have I got the right treasure in my heart? Is my heart in the right place? This is what Jesus is trying to teach us in this context. You know, we've got to realize that money and things and stuff of this life, that cannot be our real treasure. Think about the two points Jesus draws in verses 19 following. Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. These are temporary things. These are things that over time are not going to last. Whether it be houses, cars, homes, money, eventually it's not going to exist. But Jesus says, rather, you've got to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so I learned that my goal in life cannot be to have more and more stuff and things and worldliness. You remember Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10, love of money, it's a root of all kind of evil, from which some have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They basically have destroyed their own soul, drowned themselves in sorrow and perdition because that was their goal in life. That's what life was about for them. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 teaches us all that is in the world. Lust the flesh, lust the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, it's of the devil. And one day it's going to pass away. Everything that we now see is one day going to cease to exist. With that in mind, I ask you, if all of this one day is going to cease to exist, is it really, as we say sometimes, going to amount to a hill of beans? Why would you make that your treasure in life? Why would you put your heart in something that's not going to last, that's temporary, that's fading? James 4 verse 4 says, you cannot have friendship with the world and friendship with God. Whoever therefore desires to be a friend of the world, he makes himself an enemy of Almighty God. And so we've got to realize it is required of me that I get my heart and my treasure in the right place. Not on things that are destructible, but on things that are eternal. Our treasure must be in immortal things in this life. In Matthew 24 and verse 36, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, Jesus said, they'll never pass away. 1 Peter 1:25 teaches us the grass withers, the flower fades, there's temporary things, but the word of the Lord it endures forever. One day I'm going to stand before the throne of God. Imagine the scene. God's on His throne. I'm going to stand there and I'm going to be judged by the amount of toys and stuff I had in this life. Is that right? No. John 12:48 says, I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to be judged based upon His Word, which will have the final say. We need to realize that in this life, the important things we have are the Bible and our soul and making sure that we get right with God before it's everlastingly too late. Jesus told the rich young ruler in Luke 18, verse 22, one thing you lack, sell all that you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. And that man went away sorrowful. Why? His heart and his treasure were not in the right place. Don't get me wrong, he probably had some good intentions. He wanted to do good, but he didn't have total dependence upon God. He still trusted in the things of this life. And so the first thing that is required of me is I've got to get my heart and my treasure in the right place. Now I want you to notice the second thing. Under point number B, write this in. What do I need to do to have total dependence upon God? It requires that we have clear vision in life. Now, where we're getting this from is verses 22 and 23. Look in Matthew 6 and notice what Jesus says in verses 22 and 23. Jesus uses an illustration of the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The idea of the light being the lamp of the body. If you've ever had blurry vision, maybe you've had to have glasses and you couldn't see real good before, you can realize just how important the eye is to the body. It gives light. It helps you to see. That's the purpose of the light. It gives you clear vision in this life. Jesus makes this point. If we don't have clear vision in life, if it's darkened by other things, there's no way I can really have total dependence upon God. What are your goals in this life? What's the main thing? I want you to think about real seriously about this. What's the main goal in your life right now? If you were to write it down, what would it be? Main goal. You've got one. What is it? Is it, as Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain? Is your life about first and foremost living for Christ? The verse that was read for us, which we're going to look at momentarily, Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, you've got to seek first. There's the one goal in life you've got to have. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness and all these things we're going to talk about, food, shelter, and clothing, they're going to be provided for us. We've got to have clear vision in life. I've got to see where I'm going. I've got to know what it takes to get there. I've got to have one main goal in life. There may be other things I'd like to accomplish, but first, I've got to make it my goal to go to heaven. Jesus asked a rhetorical question, two of them actually, in Mark 8, verses 36 and 37. He says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Let's just say you can amass all the wealth of the world. On the judgment day, what would that amount to? You'd stand before God and you've got 14 semi-trucks full of money right behind you. And God says, "What are these for?" And you say, "Oh, I know I hadn't probably lived right, but I thought it'd amount for something. That's not going to do any good. What good will it do you if you have all the wealth of the world, you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul?" Some people are selling their soul right now in this life, because their treasure is not what it ought to be on other things. And so we have to have real clear vision as to the meaning, as to what life is all about. Now there's a third thing that's required of me. I first have to have the right heart, the right treasure, have to have clear vision in life. Notice point number C, write this in. It requires that I decide who I'm going to serve, write in the word serve, in this life. This comes from verse 24 of our text. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or he'll despise the one and be loyal to the other." Listen to His words. You cannot serve God and mammon. Friends, if we're going to put total dependence upon God, I've got to decide in this life, who am I going to serve? Is my life going to be about serving me and my pleasures and what I want? Or is my life going to be about serving God? Remember, you can't do both. This is not something you can do both of. It's not like you can serve mammon and God. Jesus says no. In fact, the word mammon, it just simply means earthly treasures, earthly riches. You can't serve the things of this earth and serve God at the same time. Why? God wants 100% of our dedication. Romans 12, verse 2. We're to be a living sacrifice every day for Almighty God. What did Paul say about it in Galatians 2, verse 20? "I've been crucified with Christ. It's nevertheless Christ who lives in me. Not I who live, but Christ," he said, "who lives in me." You know, it's God's love that ought to motivate us to want to live for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. And so, ask yourself in this life, and be honest. There's no use to try to fool yourself in this life. Be honest with yourself. Who are you really serving in this life?